When I was a young boy, my father used to tell me stories about back in the day, plowing snow and blizzards, driving on a frozen lake, logging in the backwoods of Upper Michigan. And what fascinated me wasn't so much the stories, but the details that he remembered. While studying Mark chapter 4, a familiar story of the parable of the sower, my mind flashed back to a story from back in the day. Although I must admit, I'm not as good as my father with the details. Perhaps that will come with age. It was a warm, lazy Friday afternoon. I'd already called it a day and was already at home when I got the call asking me to go to the Kingsburg Hospital. Yeah, it was back in the day, back when Kingsburg had a hospital, back when Kingsburg had an emergency room, back when I was a volunteer police chaplain. I was called to come and spend some time with a little boy. I can't remember his exact age, 7 or 8, 9 or 10, it doesn't really matter. But this little boy and his mother and his best friend, another little boy, they were headed up to Shaver Lake for the weekend. They were traveling from somewhere over the grapevine, somewhere down south. No one knows for sure how it happened that day, but everyone knew what happened. The mother's car hit a tree, a big eucalyptus tree, north of Traver, south of Kingsburg. By the time I arrived at the hospital, the mother had passed away. The young friend had passed away, and this little boy was all alone. And he was asking for his mother. I was told that the next of kin had been notified, and the people were coming from Southern California to pick up the little boy. And the family made a big ask. They asked that we didn't tell the little boy about his mother or about his friend until they arrived. For hours, it felt like days. We all know that feeling, right? For hours, that little boy and I played tic-tac-toe. We played squares, the game where you put a lot, and I mean a lot of dots on the paper, and then you start taking turns drawing lines, making squares, seeing who can get the most squares. Hours talking about family, talking about the lake. Hours just talking over and over. Like it seemed like 100 times I'd hear the question, where's my mommy? When can I see my mommy? And I'd hold him in my arms from time to time, and I'd try to reassure him. We just have to wait. The doctors are with her. Family got there. Grandma took him in her arms and told him that mommy didn't make it. He was old enough that he didn't want to believe it. I'd been telling him for hours that his mother was with doctors. And so together we went and saw mommy. He hugged her, and there were lots of tears. And before I knew it, they were all gone. I'd spent hours with him. And to this day, I wonder, has he ever discovered the love of Jesus? That love that meets us wherever we find ourselves? That afternoon, that night, I didn't quote Bible verses to a little boy. I tried to live Bible verses. I didn't ask him to pray some sentence prayer. I prayed. I prayed for him. I prayed for his mother. I prayed for his friend. I prayed for families that I would never know. I prayed for the police and the ambulance personnel, for the doctors and the nurses. I prayed. And I played tic-tac-toe. As we turn to Mark chapter 4. As we turn there this morning, know that seeds were sown. So if you got a Bible, open it with me to Mark 4. For three chapters now, Jesus has been showing up. Jesus has been performing miracles. And Jesus has been teaching. Nothing's changed as we turn to Mark 4. Jesus is teaching. And as he does, I pray that you will see the miracle. It begins like this, Mark 4:1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that they got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came, and they devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up. But since it had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And yet other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." Verse 10, "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.' And he said to them, 'Do you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?'" Verse 14, "The sower sows the word." Hey, let me ask you a question. Where did I lose you? At turn to Mark 4? Or when you heard, "Listen, behold, a sower went to sow"? And all of a sudden you realize, hey, I know this story. Jesus is a sower and he's going to sow the gospel. And I remember, there's a quiz at the end. There's a quiz at the end of the story. Pastor Joe's going to ask me which soil I am. But before you start guessing, you have to ask, what in the world does this have to do with the little boy? Connect some dots for us. Mark 4, verse 3. "Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow." What if you're the sower? What if you're the sower? What if you came to understand that we have opportunities every day to sow, every day to share the gospel, every day to imitate Jesus? Opportunities every day to be an agent of transformation. Every day, opportunities for our lives to be transformed. Listen. What is the point of the parable? What if it isn't where we plant the seeds, where the seed lands, but whether or not we're throwing the seeds, throwing the gospel around, throwing the good news, wherever it is that we find ourselves? We read in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 and 7. Listen. "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I, Paul, planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who planted nor he who waters is anything, but only God. It's only God who gives the growth. Listen. This side of heaven, I don't know where the seeds landed that day. I found myself entertaining a little boy for hours on end. My presence, seed. My empathy, my prayers, my compassion. My meager generosity when I took a break from tic-tac-toe and I ran to McDonald's and I bought a Happy Meal that was anything but. Seeds. Every day God gives us opportunity to sow seeds. Every day we have the opportunity to perform acts of kindness, to sow seeds. And those seeds, sharing the kingdom of God, sharing Jesus, can change our lives and the lives of those around us. God has put in each of our lives an oikos, a group of people that we can give ourselves to. 6 weeks of isolation and my oikos has changed. I've come to recognize just how fluid it is. With each new day, with each new week, different people are a part of my life, my oikos, my family. People that we can throw seed to, share the gospel with, be the gospel for. Are you throwing seeds? Are you sharing Jesus? Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm just saying, listen. So, share. Share your Savior. Verse 10 is quite a segue. Listen to this, verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. How did we get in 10 verses, from a boat on a sea with a very large crowd to somewhat alone with those around him and the 12? How do we get from the parable of the seed to the parables? Because at verse 10, so far, there'd only been one parable. And what is the secret of the kingdom of God that Jesus says that they've been given, that we've been given? Well, the secret of the kingdom of God is that God's present plan for growing the kingdom is seed sowing. The last part of verse 11 and verse 12 are among a collection of verses in the Bible entitled The Hard Sayings of Jesus. It reads, but for those outside, everything's a parable, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, and lest they should turn and be forgiven. Hear this thought. Jesus' point is that just as the sun hardens a mud pie, that same sun melts a candle. There are those who are interested in Jesus, and then there are those who actually want to follow him. The word of the gospel is offensive to many. Yet that same good news causes others to rejoice. Those outside, they're not denied the possibility of belief, but if they persist in their unbelief, they just won't hear it calling. Listen. Love the word. Love Jesus. And you will grow and become more like him. Refuse the word, and even the understanding that you do have will be taken away. And then in verse 13, Jesus asks them two quick questions. Do you understand this parable? And how then will you understand all the parables? You see, Jesus wants to know, are you listening? Jesus wants to know, are you learning? And don't miss this. Jesus loves that they are with him. That's why he doesn't even give them a chance to answer the questions. He goes right on to explain the parable. Throw the seed, but understand this. Listen. In the parable of the soils, the kingdom of God exposes our hearts. Some hearts are going to be hardened to the kingdom. Verses 14 and 15. Some hearts are going to be shallow. Verses 16 and 17. Some hearts are going to be distracted. Verses 18 and 19. And some hearts are going to be fruitful. Verse 20. But listen. It's your job. It's my job. It's our job to throw the seeds. It's your job. It's my job. It's our job to spread the good news. The kingdom of God is here. Gospel truths transform us. But God, it's God's job to grow it. It's God's task to transform us. So today, may the Holy Spirit challenge us. May the Holy Spirit convict us. May the Holy Spirit champion us. Champion us to live out the truth of Mark 4:3. Listen! Behold, a sower went out to sow. You are that sower. The love of Jesus is the seed. And so go out and share him. Let me share three practical ways to do that. First of all, pray. If you don't already, begin to make it a habit to pray for others before you pray for yourself. To pray for others more than you pray for yourself. And then provide. Do something practical. Share something with someone. And last of all, proclaim. Proclaim Jesus. Proclaim Jesus through the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Sow those seeds this week in the people that God has placed in your life. Listen to this letter I received this past week from Steve and Joy Johnson, our missionaries in Paris. I'm sure some of you received it too. Dear Joy, dear Joe, this is Joy writing today. Maybe like me, you find yourself thinking about what the love of Jesus looks like in this pandemic. In December, I sat in a darkened room with my dad and my brother holding my mother's hand as she died. Occasionally we'd speak, a memory, a psalm, how much we loved her. When Dad said, what we are seeing here, this is all because of the fall. It seemed a surprising thing to say, but as he watched the love of his life slip away, he spoke from the deepest place in his soul where he knew that separation and death had no place in the garden of God, the garden that God intended us to live in. I've been watching the numbers lower now. 395 deaths today in France, 507 in New York, 19 in Virginia where my dad lives. knowing that many people are dying alone. I've made it kind of a personal daily ritual to pause and to acknowledge their passing. It's hard. Yet in this pandemic, it seems to unite us all around the world. Even in the wrongness of our human condition, it also gives us life to the very core, to the very core of the gospel. For we're not alone. God has not abandoned us. He wants us. He came to us. He breached that wall that barred us from the garden. There is Jesus, and we're not alone in this. Once a week, my daughter picks up eggs from a local farm in her community in upstate New York. She gets an extra eggs and leaves a carton on the doorstep of several older neighbors. My son's new job, it fell through when the virus hit. Acquaintances from his church paid their rent this month. A friend in Texas made and mailed 6 masks across the country to my father. She's never met him. Yesterday on our once-a-day authorized walk in the rural village that we're confined to, Steve and I stopped to admire the flowers in the yard, brilliant poppies and iris and lilacs. The elderly gardener was there, and we exchanged a few words, and then we turned to go, and she kept speaking. We talked for another 15 minutes. Alone in her garden with so many thoughts and no one to hear them, we could listen. These are quiet ways to love and give deep meaning to God's message in our broken times and places. There are powerful ways to say through us, "You turned away from me, but I wanted you back. Emmanuel, I am here. You are not alone." The deep, deep love of Jesus in the time of the coronavirus, even when we feel alone, we're not. So be careful, dear friends. Be well. And may you love and be loved for Jesus' sake. Hear it again. Behold, a sower went out to sow. The miracle of the parable is that God chose us to do it. God chose us to sow. To seek Him, the parable of the sower. To submit to Him, the parable of the seed. To share Him, the parable of the soil. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith." And anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Let's pray. Father, again this day, we thank you for this day. We thank you for breath and for life and for the people you've placed in our lives and the places that we find ourselves. We thank you that you loved us first and you love us always, and that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you've made that love known, and by that same power, you've entrusted us with the privilege of sowing seed, of sharing Jesus, of watching lives be transformed, and watching our lives be changed too. So we ask that you would challenge us to sow seeds, to become the good news for those that you've put in our life, to share the love of Jesus in practical ways and sometimes in words. We thank you that it's been made known to us, and we ask that you just equip us to make it known to those in our path. I thank you for this family and for missionaries like Steve and Joy in France and those around the world. We lift up our hearts and pray that you would meet all of their needs and even some of their wants. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercies. Amen. Make a difference in someone else's life today, this week. Share Jesus. Somebody shared him with you.